Podcast.
Yeah, we're back. Let's do it again. This is Weed Show Wednesday, or Midweek Weed Show Wednesday, or Wide Open Weed Show Midweek Wednesday. Shout out to my buddy Hunter Hart, who is a GNCC ATV racer who suggested adding the Wide Open name to it. It's not going to fit in a YouTube title, but Wide Open Weed Show Wednesday Midweek. Hunter Hart, he knows his alliteration. His name is Hunter Hart, and his last name is Hart, and he was born on Valentine's Day. These are not the things you came to this show to find out. I am going to mention the sponsors, and then we'll get into the double dip down under, more alliteration, with two races in Australia. But the sponsors, you probably know this already, Yoshimura on board always with what we have always called the Exhaust Podcast, but now we have this other name for it. Anyway, Yosh has always had exhaust systems, whether you're young Jet Lawrence and the giant poster behind my head, or Jet Lawrence and Hunter Lawrence today. Got the Yosh RS12 on their factory Hondas, but if you have a Triumph, a Suzuki, a Yamaha, a Kawasaki, they updated the Kawasaki exhaust. Cowie didn't even change the motor in the 450, but Yosh came out with a 2.0 exhaust to make their exhaust system even better. They're constantly elevating and innovating. They kind of did the same thing with the Yamaha YZ250F. It's always getting better, so go to yoshimura-rd.com. Did I mention that they have Husky and KTM exhaust? Did I mention that? Well, they do. And also brought to you by Insta360. So go to store.insta360.com and check out the Ace Pro 2. This is an action cam. We talked about the 360 camera the last few weeks. Now we're going to talk about the more traditional rectangle square style one, which some people prefer. The Ace Pro 2 now has an SMX, a Super Motocross Edition, which is a bundle with a bunch of kit that you would also like to have everything you need to use it on your motorcycle. And it has the 8K recording. And what I like, it has a viewfinder which flips up. So if you use it in selfie mode, which I've done for hundreds of videos through the years, you can actually see the viewfinder and the lens together. And the lens itself is highly advanced for even better clarity. We'll talk more about store.insta360 in a moment. But you might gotta go now this week because you get a big discount for Black Friday. So let's get into that double dip down under in Australia. Last week, I spent 20 minutes explaining how there ended up being two races at the same time in Australia. The FIM WSX Series, and I'm going to sum up that 20-minute video in like 45 seconds here, now with new ownership, has definitely said we come in peace. They're not here to be a rival to Monster Energy AMA Supercross in America. I think they just see that there is a market for a couple, probably 5 to 8 international Supercross races a year. They can make money. The riders can make some money. And overall, just good for everyone. I don't think they see it as we have to eliminate or be the best or win. We just have to exist. So there's no real rivalry there compared to the old ownership of WSX, which kind of said, we're here to kick butt and take names. Except there is one rivalry, which is that old WSX group still partially is the group that runs the Australian Supercross Series. So I believe there was heat there, and that's what led to the new WSX ownership group putting their biggest race of the year on the same weekend in the same country as Australia's Boost Mobile AusX National Supercross Championship finale. Whew, it's probably more than 45 seconds. So let's explain, out of respect, what happened in the Australian Supercross Championship finale first. That was run in Adelaide, part of the V8 Supercars Championship weekend. It's kind of a cool festival atmosphere. Good idea. And Dean Wilson won the title again. Dean has been dominating the series as of late, taking the mantle from another generally American-based racer on a quad-lock Honda who dominated in Australia, Justin Brayton. I salute your service, Dean Wilson, for taking up for Justin Brayton. Those are very big boots to fill. And Dean's done it well for the last couple of years, although not without some drama and heartbreak, not on the racetrack, but Dean's mom passed during this Australia season. Hung out with Dean's mom many, many times at the races through the years. Dean's mom and dad, probably the two most hilarious characters you will ever meet at the races. You got to be careful dealing with the parents on weekends because some of them are out of their minds, out of control, super biased about their kids. And then there's Dean's parents who are just there basically for comedy purposes. It's great. And Dean's mom will be missed. He was able to still get the job done, win the races he needed to. And let's be honest, Dean's body is held together basically with like duct tape and staples at this point. It must hurt every morning and every time he gets on the bike. But he's doing what I think people respect for veteran riders, which is, look, you get into the sport for love of the game. And Dean, I'm sure, still loves it. But at this point, it's just, I got a family. I got a window to make as much money as possible. I'm going to pull as much money in this window before the window closes. So shout out to you, Dean, who, remember, actually filled in for the Lawrence brothers this year also in AMA Supercross, has raced all over the world and is making some good money for him and his family. Well done, Dino. As for the 250 side in Australian Supercross, just a bummer for Lux Turner, who was dominating the series, winning every race, and then hurt his wrist. That not only is going to cost him winning their SX2 title, but also probably going to cost him at least some early rounds of AMA Supercross. And you knew that Lux had really been on the rise over the last 2 years, so that's a bummer. I believe it was Ryder Kingsford who ended up winning SX2. Now, let's talk about the race that had all the big stars, and that was WSX on the Gold Coast. And I know what you want to talk about. Deegs. Let's talk Deegs. And I have fresh info. This is what I do for you folks. See, I got the nerdy glasses on at least one more week. Let's go to the notebook. Talk to a source deep, deep, deep inside the Hayden Deegan camp. Now, I don't want to give away the names of my sources, but this source is Hayden Deegan's dad. Not going to name names. Maybe you've heard of his dad. Anyway, he's cool. I just hit him up Tuesday morning and I said, hey, if you're back from Australia, just let me know how it went, just so we can tell people. So he gave me a call. You just want to make sure that there's not something good or bad that you didn't know about when you're talking about these things. So that's how we do it. My gosh, the light right in the glasses. My gosh, let's change my angle on that. Okay, Deegs. Let's talk Deegs. I think the Argentina race, it was okay. It wasn't anything great. I did mention, as I said last week, he did pull away from Justin Cooper in one of the races there, but he was much better for sure riding that 450 the second time around here in Australia, and then he's had a couple more weeks on it. I know there are some Deegs haters out there who probably just cannot wait for him to get to the 450 class, hoping that he gets his doors blown off and he also gets knocked down by a bunch of the veteran guys in the class. And that is just because the Deegs haters, it's hard to not be attracted to the story of, the bully is finally going to meet his match and get what's coming to him. I understand that's a story that many people are rooting for, but it is a major flaw in society these days of having the thing that you want to happen or hope happens and thinking that's actually going to happen. I feel like watching the race, Deegs is not going to get his doors blown off by anyone. He's fine. He's fast enough. He's not a paper champion. He's legitimate enough. He was right in the mix. I don't feel like there was anyone of all these legendary guys, Roczen, Webb, Tomac, whatever, that were like way faster than Deegs. Now, Deegs did get into it with Joey Savacci, and that's kind of a funny story. A lot of my info comes from Steve Mathis and Lewis Phillips. They were at the race. Savacci had a hilarious story where in the second race, he's battling with Deegan. Deegan starts playing the cat and mouse, slowing down, looking back way too much, and then eventually Deegan goes down. Joey goes to his pit and says, dude, what were we doing? If we raced forward, we could have got away from those guys and probably got second and third. And then I guess Deegs and his mechanic Deegs Duff, more alliteration, are like, well, we don't know if we can trust you on the track. And then Joey's like, what? I don't know why you would be scared of me. And then Deegs like, oh, I'm not scared of anybody. I'll go right now. And Deegs is always ready to go. Always ready to go. So that was one little Deegs doing this with veterans in the 450 class thing. Again, I know that's something that people want to hear is going to happen so badly. But otherwise, I think it was pretty clean. His dad told me that for one thing, at these races, a big part of it is the riders hang out from a tourist perspective together. You get a relaxed, away from the racetrack environment of all hanging out together. And I've experienced this. A lot of these international races, some of the funding actually comes from the government and the tourism board. So the riders have to go and take photos and do local tourist stuff that's actually required for getting paid to go to the race. I did this at the Aussex Open myself. I got great free ice cream out of it years ago. And we went to a sheep farm and got the shear sheep in New Zealand. It's all part of the tourism thing we had to do. Jason Anderson and I sheared sheep. Where am I going with this story? Well, here's how it affects the racing side. As Hayden's dad said, I'm sure some of the 450 guys are like, oh, I don't know about this Diggs kid. But generally, when these racers get to hang out for 2 or 3 days doing normal stuff and not racing each other, generally everybody gets along. So I think it kind of broke the ice and lowered the temperature at the same time with Deegan and some of these 450 guys. The Savatgy thing is something, but overall, I think it's going to be maybe a little less fireworky than we thought. Maybe. Anyway, Deeg showed speed. And he made some mistakes. There's no doubt about it. He's pretty loose on the 450. He's a super aggressive rider. And the track was super dry and didn't have a lot of traction. I'll talk more about that in a moment. But one other factor for Hayden was he alluded to in his interview with Lewis that the bike had some problems. I believe what that is that the fuel that they run over there, they couldn't get the bike to run right. They probably tried some different maps. They never solved it. So I think Hayden was getting into rhythms, and sometimes he had normal power, and other times the bike wasn't quite running right. But everybody was making mistakes in these rhythms. I mean, oh my gosh, Eli Tomac, way worse. I think there were a variety of factors for that. The dry track, everyone's bikes are probably not quite where they want to be, whether they're struggling with fuel like Deegs, and probably other riders were too. In general, people don't have the full toolbox. Like, literally, they don't have their full toolbox when you go to these international races. So that led to some mistakes. And then Max Anstey, who's still dominating the SX2 class, he thinks it was the way the rhythms were built. He said they were all triples, they didn't have tabletops. It wasn't built wrong, it was just built where it was tough. And he thinks that's what led to the mistakes. Either way, Deegs made mistakes, there's no doubt about it. But I think overall, this is what you should expect for a throttle-happy, super-aggressive 19-year-old kid hopping on a 450 for only a few weeks. I don't think it was bad in any way, shape, or form. The Savatgy thing was kind of funny. You're going to get a little bit of that. We'll see how it transpires. Two more takeaways. The Deegan camp, yes, the fuel probably didn't make the bike run the way they wanted, but they don't want to make it sound like they're making excuses, like Hayden would have 1-1-1'd it if not for that, because they're aware that everybody at these flyaway-type races, again, doesn't have the full toolbox there. Everyone's probably struggling with something. Their bike isn't quite the way they want it. It's midway through the off-season. Maybe they're just not ready. Whatever, jet lag, whatever it is. So that it's not an excuse. It's just, as I say, a reason for some of the mistakes. Now, the second thing on Deegan, and the thing that everybody probably wants to know now is he going to race a 450 at Anaheim 1, maybe? At any AMA Supercross this year? So I asked his dad that, and as he said, he's like, the plan was never to race 450 Supercross in America this year. No one ever said they were going to. And I said, yes, I understand that, but I have a fear that Hayden's going to be on a 450 for 5 or 6 weeks of the offseason and race it twice and then get on a 250 and say, I don't want to ride a 250 anymore. Well, Brian said, look, the plan is still, for sure, race 250 West. Use the off weekends when 250 East is racing to hammer down on 450 motocross testing at home to be as ready as possible for the true 450 debut in pro motocross in May. No plans to race 450 Supercross in 2026 in the AMA series. But Brian did say, yeah, I guess there's a chance Hayden gets on the bike, and that's probably happening right now this week, and absolutely hates it. But he would say that's a very, very slim chance that Hayden's going to be racing a 450 in Supercross this year. They really want to put the eggs in the 450 motocross basket. And look, he's not asking for my advice. I think racing 250 Supercross is the way to go this year. The margin for error is so small. To try to get through one weekend, multiple weekends, 17 weekends, whatever, that's just tough on a rookie. Hayden is still only 19. I say take the extra year of Supercross experience. And by the way, let's not forget, there are no guarantees in racing, but if Hayden has a great season and wins another Supercross title and wins a bunch of races and is podium at minimum most weekends, he's going to make himself more than $1 million in bonuses. And the 450 class, you go there, I mean, you get bonuses for podiums probably. There's no guarantee even that's going to happen. Race wins titles, that's probably out of the question as a 19-year-old. So I say take the money, take the experience. Again, he's only 19. And we'll see him on a 450 outdoors. That's the Deegan scoop. That's what you're here for, right? Let's talk more riders, including Eli Tomac, but shout out to the sponsors here. So Yoshimura, yoshimura-rd.com. We mentioned that they got the exhaust systems for the motocross bikes. They've also got it for dual sports, actually, and a lot of heritage on the street bike performance side. And if you're into that, you got a street bike in the garage, definitely check out Yoshimura for more on that. As for Insta360, the Ace Pro 2 Super Motocross Edition bundle, the kit comes with everything you need. That's that Ace Pro 2 camera, a helmet chin mount for the perfect POV angle, a flexible adhesive mount so you could stick it anywhere on your bike, and a lens guard to protect your investment, plus a 128 gig micro SD card so you're ready to shoot right out of the box. Now, one note, that SMX bundle doesn't actually launch until Thursday, December 4th. So if you're watching this before Thursday, December 4th, like Wednesday, you're in the know. Just don't tell them that I told you. Don't tell them where you heard this from. But also tell them Weege sent you. Go to store.insta360.com. Get the bundle. Black Friday, they have a discount on the camera. And if you type in the code RACERX, that's all uppercase, no space, RACERX, the first 30 people get a $50 value mic air for free. So check that out. That's store.insta360.com. Let's talk Eli Tomac and how it went there in Australia. It was a great performance with his Red Bull KTM debut in Vancouver. This was much worse. I will say this, the starts have been on point with the KTM. All six starts he has had in these WSX races have been great. So that's a good sign if you're an Eli Tomac fan. This was not good, though, beyond that. Way too many mistakes. He did a 360 at one point. There's definitely talk about, man, Eli running the scoop tire on the hardest, driest supercross track that they probably will race on all year. Well, Ian Harrison, in his interview, the team manager with Phillips, in his interview, he said, it sounded to me what he was saying is that they, again, they didn't have options for other tires. They had to declare what tires they were using, and that was it. They were stuck with the scoop. But that's not to say that Eli wouldn't have stuck with it anyway, because he runs the scoop just about all the time. Once Eli ran a scoop tire at SMX Playoff 2 at Dallas 2 years ago, which is the hardest pack track probably we've seen in years, scoops on the table at all times. Here is my suspicion. We look at the tread pattern, we see the scoop, and we think Eli just likes the sand tire. I think he knows sometimes the tread pattern isn't best for the conditions, but I think there are other things about the tire. Riders are so sensitive to the ride height of the tire, one tire being a little bit taller than another or a little bit shorter, they can feel that. It makes a huge difference. And we know Eli's the kind of guy that likes the rear end of the bike high. So maybe the taller paddle tire gives him that feel. Also, the feeling of the sidewall and how the bike performs in whoops and how it feels as an extension of the suspension, the riders are very sensitive to that. So it might seem crazy that Eli wants to run the scoop all the time, but I think sometimes he's running the scoop not for the actual scoop tread pattern, but because of the rest of the way it makes the bike feel. And that's a compromise he's willing to make, but it didn't work here. It was just a bad night for Tomac. It wasn't even close to what it was in Vancouver. And as Ian Harrison summed up, look, they've got work to do. It was good to get this kind of experience on a completely different type of dirt than Vancouver. And now we're left head scratching going to Anaheim. Is it going to be good? Is it going to be bad? How's it going to go? We've had one good race, one bad race. We'll see. How about the guy who won? How about the guy who won in Australia? It's Ken Roczen. But the reason I get into this so late in the show is because Ken Roczen winning is not really a headline. He's been riding awesome in all of these races so far, and he continues to ride awesome. You give him those types of conditions, which hilariously he says he doesn't like, but he rides them so well, and it was good. And speaking of those conditions, I find it funny when you hear riders. So Roczen did not like the dirt. It was slippery. The theory was that they didn't water it enough because they thought it was going to rain, then it didn't rain and it was dry. Roczen's like, yeah, but just make it right anyway. If it's going to rain, you're going to have a terrible track as it is, so just try to do it right. Look, here's what's funny. Kenny, in his interview with Mathis, said, when the track is dry like this, it makes for garbage racing. But actually, it made for better racing. It made for garbage racing as far as the riders are on the track and they don't like those conditions. It's not fun to ride those conditions. But they will often confuse what is fun to ride and what they like with great racing. And they're two totally separate things. Because what I saw was the dry conditions led to so many mistakes that it actually led to more passing and action. When you have the on the other side, when you have the mega deep ruts like the Colorado Thunder Valley National had back in the day, the riders would say it's not good racing because you can't move around. I've seen 250 motos in Colorado with some of the greatest racing I've ever seen ever because of the ruts. They might not like the ruts, but sometimes conditions being too dry or too wet and the riders messing up actually leads to better racing. There's a moto where Alex Martin won on a Troy Lee Designs Red Bull KTM in the 250 class, and it was one of the best motos ever, and it also had probably the deepest ruts ever. That says something. The riders probably didn't like it. They probably said it was bad for racing. But the proof and the pudding is in the eating. The only maybe weird part about Roczen winning these races is the fact that he's done racing these races, but that's weird to me that that's a big deal, because I feel like we all knew that Roczen wasn't going to race the whole series this year. I thought that was known. But there is apparently some sort of a swerve here. What's interesting is if you looked at the point standings that they were posting on the WSX page, wild cards, the Cooper Webb types, the Eli Tomac types, the Deegan, Justin Cooper types, were not listed in the points. The only riders listed in the points were the guys racing the whole series. But then Roczen was listed in the points, even though the plan all along, from everyone I talked to, was that Roczen was not racing the whole championship this year. So then his team announces that when he leaves, which I thought everybody knew he was leaving, he will be replaced by Colt Nichols at the final two rounds. Then some people got mad, like there's some sort of swerve. I think the only swerve was that the series, I feel, was kind of like not saying it either way, but I don't feel like Kenny ever said ever that he was racing all the races. And to make this super simple, I think it just comes down to this. When Roczen races these events, the series pays him to be there. I think sometimes it's $250,000 in some previous years. I'm not sure what he's making now. It's certainly in the six figures. I guess they just didn't have the budget to do it for all five races this year. Or Kenny's like, man, I've had enough. I don't want to race all the way into December, two more weekends, and those are far away. You got a Europe and a South Africa. He never intended on racing all five rounds. It does make it seem like the series kind of, sort of, didn't want to say it, even though they knew it, but they knew it the whole time. Colt Nichols had said weeks ago, I'm going to fill in for Roczen whenever he's done. So I don't know if that's controversial or not. One more takeaway from Australia, and I think this might be the biggest takeaway of all, the only takeaway you can take to Anaheim of 2026, because these races, like I said, everybody's in different levels of fitness, preparation, bikes, they don't have all the stuff they want, the fuel's off, as mentioned, but this, I think, counts, and that is Christian Craig, massively improved already in the first two races of the series. And then this third one, look, he's straight up passed Eli Tomac, Hayden Deegan, pulled away, held on in the longest main event of the night. He is so much better than he was back in the springtime. I don't know if it's the Honda. I don't know if it was the injuries coming into the season last year, whatever it is. He's so much better. The guy was routinely getting lapped in Supercross early in 2025. No doubt in my mind he can take this confidence forward. How good can he be? I don't know, but he should be way better, although he doesn't technically have a ride in America yet, but I have a feeling that with these types of performances, Yariv and the Quadlock Honda team will find a way to make sure he gets to Anaheim on their bikes. So that's it for our review of the Australia Double Dip. Couple other things in the news to mention here. Shout out to our sponsors, though, Yoshimura, yoshimura-rd.com. Go to the site, check it out. And the Ace Pro 2 Super Motocross Bundle, go to store.insta360.com and check out the bundle and get it all. And get it in time for the holidays. And take advantage of a Black Friday discount if you go right now. The two other things to mention are Joe Shimoda going down with a crash. Man, this is scary to hear. Broken and displaced vertebrae. That's not good. Now, the good news is no spinal cord damage. Joe will make a full recovery. I don't know how long that will be, but I'm going to presume you're not going to see Joe Shimoda in Supercross, which is a huge bummer with the momentum that he had dating back to not just winning the SMX title, but also he won Anaheim 1 last year. He really proved that he could get this done, and now he's probably not going to have a chance to show it. I do not believe there will be a fill-in rider for him. Honda will just go coastless on one end. They have Chance Hymus. I don't know if Hymus will be east or west, but in the other one, I guess they just won't have a 250. And speaking of coast, Club MX has announced what coast their riders are going to race. I'm going to read it straight up from the RacerX website right here. What I think is interesting about it, they're going to put the guys who are racing World Supercross right now, which is Devin Simonson, who's riding awesome, and Cody Shock, who's riding awesome. They're going to have them race east. They're going to give them a little break. I thought you'd have the runway of they've been racing November and December, just go straight to Anaheim. Instead, they're going to give them a break. So that's going to put Hunter Yoder, who's new to the team, and Max Voland in his second year with the team as the West riders. And that team is still searching for a title sponsor since Muckoff has departed. I've heard the team has lost a bunch of sponsorship revenue. So if anybody's out there that wants to support a team that's in need of support and very good, pick up the phone, hit up Club MX. I think that's it. Yeah, I wrote some notes. I hardly ever write notes, but I wanted to do it. I got the nerdy glasses. Why not do some reading? That's our show. Weed Show midweek. Weed Show Wednesday. Thanks for watching. Thanks to the sponsors. I don't know if I'll get one of these done. I'm going to be in California all next week talking to riders sun up, sun down as part of Media Weeks for Monster Energy AMA Supercross and SMX. And we're going to be shooting the RacerX season preview Supercross videos. I am putting Mathis in charge of what riders go on which show. So send your complaints to him, not me. I'll try to get one of these done next week. We have a lot going on. If not, I'll do a show on all that went on the week after. Thanks for watching.